Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we have another brand new co-host for you. And I'm excited for this one because I got referred to her by the, I like to call him famous, Mike Michalowicz. He just aired on the show as episode 048 on February 10th, and as we're recording this today, actually this morning. So our new co-host today is one of Mike's world of profit-first professionals, and I've yet to discuss anything with any of that team besides Mike and his normal people with their podcast called Profit First. But this young lady is really niched herself into the health and fitness and wellness sector, which we're going to talk more about. And she's actually got her own business. We're going to basically talk to her about NetBooks Accounting Services. That's her book. That's her website. The domain is netbooksaccounting.com. It's very simple. She's on Facebook. She's on LinkedIn. And she's actually one of these certified masters of the profit-first professional world. And this is really, really important. We're going to talk about this because, again, guys, this show is about lifestyle, business, health, and it ties it all together because if you don't have a clue about your numbers and your money, you're going to have problems. So without further ado, welcome to the show. We have Shannon Simmons on the line.
Thanks, Scott. I'm super excited to be here and discuss, like you said, profit first for the health and wellness industry. And like you said, it's super important to have that well-rounded well-being, and finances definitely play into that. So I'm super excited to give your listeners a little bit more information about profit first today.
Yeah, so Mike had a great referral for you, and I heard you on, obviously, their Profit First podcast, and I was really excited for the fact that you were smart enough to niche yourself to the gyms and fitness centers. And since I don't own one, I could be very critical because I've worked in numerous ones over the years as side hustles. And it seems like, and no offense to my friends who are listening to this, some of you guys don't have a clue about finances. And I'm just going to call it out because I care about you guys. And I want to see entrepreneurs be successful, especially gym owners, because they're helping other people, to trying to help other people get healthier. And if they're trying to build a legacy or at least make an impact in the world from a health and wellness standpoint and a fitness standpoint, but they don't have a clue how to manage their finances properly or enjoy the business from the profit standpoint, they're going to burn out fast. So how did you stumble across choosing that as a niche?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Scott. And it's not exclusive to the health and fitness industry. It's pretty much most entrepreneurs go into business to do something that they love. They've loved being a coach in their prior life, and then they think they can do it themselves, and they really don't have a clue about business or finances or whatever, like you said. And it's really nothing. It's not their fault. They just want to help people be healthier. But like you said, being healthier in your body physically is great, but if you're not healthy financially, you can't really, like you said, leave that legacy. And so you have to be profitable one way, shape, or form. And I enjoy being healthy and working out myself. However, I'm not a physical coach. I really don't want to have anything to do with the science of it. And so I was like, hey, I already have this profit first knowledge, and I'm really working. I was looking for a niche and thought maybe there's something there, and started talking with business owners, gym owners, box owners. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, there's something here. They definitely need profit first. And like every entrepreneur needs profit first. But I found that to be really exciting for me. And for the most part, gym owners are receptive to it, and they know that they need help, and it's a very simple system that they can understand. And so I took off with it and started really helping people implement Profit First into their gyms.
Well, and to kind of help you with your help people understand where you're coming from, like literally physically, you're actually in Fort Wayne, Indiana, correct?
Correct.
And yep. So was this something that built virtually online, thanks to our wonderful online space, because anything can happen online these days? Or did you actually start working with local businesses first, and that kind of led to this? Like, how did you, I guess, make that transition into this niche?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story. I actually started accounting, 10 years ago when virtual accounting didn't really exist. And so it was all local. And then September 2014, Mike's book came out and a client introduced that to me, brought it to me and said, I want to implement this in my business. Will you help me? And I started reading it and it was a page turner for me. Every page related to a client that I had, but most of them were here locally in Fort Wayne. I'm thinking now all of them were. And within a week of reading it, I called up Mike and I said, okay, what is this Certified Profit First Professional thing? I think I want to be a part of it. We had several conversations and I said, yeah, I do. And that's when I realized I don't have to be in anybody's business in order to do this Profit First. So that was really when the virtual side of my business took off. And when people read the book, they have an opportunity to write in to Mike and ask for a referral to a Profit First professional. And about the time that I was thinking about the gym industry, I like to call it serendipity, three other gyms wrote in to Mike and said, we're looking for a Profit First professional. And we'd been in conversation, and so he sent them to me. So it really all did happen virtually. Sad to say, honestly, I don't have a gym here in Fort Wayne that is a client yet. So they are all virtual clients right now, but I really enjoy working with them. And I do most of my meetings via Zoom. So we do face-to-face, just not, there hasn't been a handshake for a lot of them, but there will be soon.
Loving the Zoom, by the way, because I'm actually using Zoom on the next interview after we're done here. And I'm actually considering just fully moving over, but I'm still in that testing phase.
So, I love it. I've been with them for 6 months and haven't had any issues really.
That's what I've been hearing. So apparently somebody finally nailed down the proper virtual technology for webinars and conference calls.
Yep, absolutely.
So, which is crazy. So anybody in Fort Wayne, Indiana listening to this, if you know the gym owners that are out there, like apparently, dude, you guys got a gem right in your backyard. So you need to go and reach out to Shannon. Seriously, come on. So, I mean, because you're helping everybody else virtually online and you can't even help somebody in your local space. But then again, that could be just simply just walking in and at least introducing yourself. That's the old school way of getting business.
Yep, absolutely.
Now that you basically, you got his book in 2014, you said?
Yep, that's when it first came out.
And I remember from our chat with Mike and I, that the Profit First Professionals, it's only about what, 2 years old or so?
Yeah. So it's 2.5.
Okay. So you got in early.
2014.
Yeah. So you basically like got in like right when they fired it up.
I did. I was one of the first 10.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm like, wait a minute. Mathematically here, I was like, you pretty much were like the early adopter.
Yep, we are. When we go to a conference every year, they have us all stand up and sit down by how long we've been in there. And I'm one of the last ones standing. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool. I like stuff like that because that shows there's people committed to the craft. And it shows that there's something that is clearly working and has been built for the long haul.
Yep. Well, like I said, I was just doing virtual bookkeeping for 7.5 years before Profit First came out, before it was anything. And I had so many struggling entrepreneurs that I just wanted to help. But all I really knew was this accounting bookkeeping jargon that I was taught in school. And entrepreneurs just don't relate. And that's one of the biggest things I love about Profit First is that it's written by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs relate. And all of a sudden, Profit First gave me this language that I can really start to help business owners rather than just say, here's your profit and loss statement, and here's what I think you should do with it. And it's all history. It's all reactive rather than proactive, whereas Profit First is definitely a proactive system to managing finances.
Well, and let's be real here. This isn't just, and I'm passionate about entrepreneurship and as I figure my way throughout it over the past few years. And this is definitely one of my weaknesses, and which is why I'm literally going to be going out to their studio and I'm going on their show and we're going to crack open the books, like literally I'm gonna go complete transparency live on the podcast.
Awesome.
So because I've read the book and I've listened to the book and I still haven't fully implemented it yet.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of limping along and I was like, you know what, I'm one of those guys just gotta rip the lid off and just also shock myself. And I think that's something maybe you could speak to, that this isn't just entrepreneurs. This is business people. This is regular, also everyday people that are trying to figure out their finances. A lot of us are afraid to actually literally realize how freaking messed up we are. I don't know. How would you talk to that?
Yeah, Mike talks about it. He has a revised and expanded version of Profit First coming out the 21st of this month, actually. So in the intro to that, he talks about it like the ice bucket challenge that we all remember from a couple summers ago. It is the doing an instant assessment. So asking, basically, I can ask you five pretty quick numbers from your historical balances in your business last year. And most people will know how much money they took out of the business, you know, what kind of salary they drew, if any, how much taxes they paid, and how much profit might have been left in the business, and then what their operating expenses are. And from those four numbers and your total revenue, five numbers, I can tell you pretty much the ice bucket challenge shock number of where you should be operating and where you actually are operating for a business your size. And so really it is just about getting that information and knowing that what healthy businesses, knowing where your business is and knowing where a healthy business doing your same size revenue in your industry should be operating or is operating. And then, you know, we can work with you to get a plan to get you there, but you really have to face reality and figure out that this is where you are and this is where you should be. How can you get there?
Well, and it's funny because a lot of us really do know where we want to be, which, and admittedly, we felt that we had the tools to get there, but maybe didn't know how to use them all, or we were still using the outdated tools of accounting, for example, here, versus even knowing what the heck Profit First is. And so for you, do you find it, and for me, even this is even not just business, this is personal. It's like, do you find it weird or hard for people that you're talking to just wrap their heads around that simple piece that, hey, man, like, we're going to redo your books and we're going to start paying yourself a small percentage of your profits first. And people are like, what? Like, you can't, you have to, you can't pay your profits first. Like, that's not mathematically possible. I don't know. Like, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I really haven't had too many people say that because that's really what everybody wants. You go into business to make money, right? Whether it's just paying your own personal bills or, you know, to be really financially healthy and have this huge profit. I don't find too many, especially people in the gym industry that are like, oh, I need millions of dollars in profit. They just want to really be able to live off of the business.
Yes.
So I don't find too much, you know, pushback to that. It's more the implementation of it and sometimes getting stuck in the details of, you know, Mike recommends five basic accounts and we definitely do that. But in the fitness industry, I've identified probably at least three other accounts. So when you start talking about eight accounts, sometimes we have to say, okay, just go open up one and let's just start with one and do really simple baby steps to get there. But I do want to speak too to the personal aspect of it. It is for personal too. I have a client who had a massive amount of debt, personal debt. The business was pretty good. Had some debt, but
what's massive?
I want to say $100,000 in credit card debt.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I'm like, I probably still got about 50, but that's school debt too. So
yeah, this was no school debt. Oh, it was all credit card debt.
That's painful.
Yeah. And she and her husband were making, they had a really good living, but those are the people, in my experience, those are the people that have a lot of debt too, because they have this persona.
That they know that there's more money coming in, they can just keep spending.
Exactly. So she had a lot of debt and we, personal debt. We were able to implement it in Profit First into the business pretty easily. She had some debt there. We got out of that pretty quickly, but within 18 months, she had also eradicated all of her personal debt. So $100,000 in 18 months just by implementing Profit First into her own personal life. So they actually went and opened up, I think she has seven personal bank accounts. She has a debit card for groceries. She does not buy groceries if there's not money on that debit card.
Wow.
Same thing for eating out. She started saving for Christmas in January. Started saving for, they went on a lot of vacations. She started saving for those year round. And so just opening up those accounts the same way that we do with Profit First for your profit and owner's pay, but doing that personally, really, I would say 180 degree changed their personal finances.
Interesting. So you clearly have proven that you can apply this to someone's personal finances. That's obviously what you just explained to us. But obviously your niche, though, is, again, we're trying to target these health, wellness, and fitness businesses that need to be doing this as well. Now, do you find this is the same common thread for them? Have some of your clients taken it to that level as well? I mean, that's pretty, I don't want to say obsessed, but very focused. I mean, you're literally, unless it's on that Visa debit card out of that bank account, like I can't spend it. So it's like, I'm not going to dinner. I don't know. But some people need that if their spending is out of control, I guess.
They absolutely do need it. And I would say I haven't had any fitness clients take it quite to that level yet, but those are some of the extra accounts that we talk about. Like I have my fitness clients, especially CrossFit owners, open up an annual fees account and we start saving for those annual affiliation dues.
Yeah.
The very first allocation that we do.
Thank you. I told the gym that I coach at, my friends, the same thing. I'm like, guys, it's funny because it's just been a change of power too. So one of the owners is basically retired and then two others bought in. So now we have three owners and I'm concerned because you got three different people in power sharing the responsibility. Whereas another good friend of mine here in the same area owns a very successful CrossFit gym. And that's where my girlfriend goes and trains at. And I drop in there. I'll be there today. And we're friends. We work out together. And he's like, hell no. I'm the only owner. I'm not. So everybody's got their own style of practice. But the CrossFit world, and only because I'm in it so I can bust on it, it is a freaking mess. It frustrates the hell out of me because I don't know if you follow CrossFit as a sport because they're your customers, but like, do you at least know what the CrossFit Open is?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So literally, was it yesterday? The day before yesterday? CrossFit officially announced the first open workout. So they this time of year, the CrossFit Open starts and you have to do specific workouts every single week and they have to be judged and your scores get submitted to the CrossFit world, the domain website. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's being tracked around the world and how they're performing. And mm-hmm. this is how some of those new, like professional CrossFit athletes end up going to the games and being on ESPN and all that, that make it up that high. But the most important thing here was in the CrossFit world, we've never had to use dumbbells. So everybody is freaking out online right now because the very first workout that they announced wants you to use dumbbells. So there are literally hundreds of thousands of CrossFit gyms that have had to go out and buy dumbbells this week, like sets of them. Yep. And there were weird weights too that normally even traditional gyms don't really necessarily need to have. So I've literally seen numbers of $400 to upwards of $1,000 being spent on new weightlifting equipment that was never in the budget.
Right.
So here we go. Yep. This is a great example of why not just we're talking about profit first, paying you guys profit first, but why it's so important to, I'm not even saying plan for the rainy day, but plan for the idiotic people who run the CrossFit organization because they're not respecting their affiliates. These are small business entrepreneurial owners. I don't even know the numbers, but most of my CrossFit gyms that I know, they all have full-time jobs. They mm-hmm. can't afford to run their gym on their own. And I'm sure how do you speak to any of this I'm bringing up here? Because as the finance guru, because I'm not, I'm like, this is something I need to have weighed in on because as you can tell, I'm a little fired up about it.
Yeah. Well, that does sound really crazy just to expect, like you said, people who are barely making it to be able to co-spend anywhere from $400 to $1,000. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, that's exactly what we do with Profit First. Any of my clients, we have at least a quarterly call where we talk about, okay, what happened in the last quarter that you weren't expecting? How did you handle it? And hopefully they didn't, it's not a how did you handle it. They've already asked me ahead of time before they had it. But sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment, you have a week to get equipment. You just go do it because you have to do it to satisfy your members. And then we talk about, you know, what's coming up that you may not be expecting or that we weren't expecting at the beginning of last quarter. What kind of changes do we need to make? as you're thinking ahead for 3 months. That probably wouldn't have even come up though in any of those calls because it happened in a week, like I said, or like you said. But that is one of the other accounts that I recommend all gym owners have is an equipment account. And so again, just pick a small amount. I don't care if it's $25 every time you do an allocation. We do those twice a month. So you're talking $50 a month. At least you'll have, you know, $600 at the end of every year or after 12 months that you can put towards equipment. Because even if CrossFit doesn't come out and say you need to buy dumbbells, you know you're going to have to replace something. Yeah,
stuff may break.
Year.
I mean, we've
exactly.
had
like we have these break something.
Yeah, we have these things called assault bikes. It's kind of like a bike but with arms on it to move your arms with it too. And those things get beat to crap. And we had our gym, we had a couple of nice older ones. Like we like to buy stuff used and then, you know, it's just more cost effective. And they eventually took a crap, so our owners went out and bought like three new ones, and they bought these things called skiing machines. And these are all, luckily though, before this little new workout got announced, luckily last month they stumbled across a gym that was closing, and somebody on Craigslist had a whole rack of dumbbells. So luckily they bought that and was smart about cost effectiveness.
Wow.
But it's to your point here, we're not, there's like, we should be planning for the unplannable. I don't know how you word that.
Yeah, just for the unexpected. And that's what I said earlier about profit first is a proactive way to look at your finances. And so we don't know what's going to happen. We can't, I can put together the perfect plan, but I know the moment that I present it, it's not going to work. Something's going to come up. And so if we're always just thinking as much as we can and planning as much as we can, at least, you know, like I said, really, I always recommend a minimum $100 into that equipment account on a monthly basis. So you're looking at $1,200. Even if that's not enough to outright buy what you need, you have a significant down payment if you do need to finance something then too. So we
exactly.
can go to
somebody. There's something there.
Exactly. We can go to somebody and we can say, hey, we don't have the full whatever we need, but we do have $1,000. Can right. we work out a plan? And so another part of profit first is negotiating. Negotiating terms with vendors, rent, all kinds of things that we talk about as we're looking at reducing expenses. But if you have a little bit of money to put into it, that goes a long ways towards negotiating too.
Well, it's and actually I brought up the message because I think it's important to tie this together. So, and this is a shout out to my boy, Kurt Miller, who's the owner of South Mountain CrossFit here in Allentown, Pennsylvania. But his Facebook post is what inspired this conversation because I felt his frustration. But I'm going to read it to you because I want to see if you can feel my frustration. But he's like, well, looks like it's $800 on dumbbells for 2017 open. Man, I'm so angry. I can't even contain myself. I guess they just had to test dumbbell movements this year to see who was the fittest. An absolute must, huh? Would have rather written myself maybe a paycheck.
Right.
And then he writes with, you know, I mean, I still love CrossFit and the CrossFit Open, and I will do anything for my community. Again, passionate gym owner who loves his athletes. But how about at least maybe even a 3-month notice for someone who has been affiliated with CrossFit for almost 5 years, just not understanding the timing of this release, CrossFit Games, and he's tagging, you know, all these organizations.
Sure.
And so that way they see him talking about them because, and then he hashtags it like angry man beard because he's got a beard right now. But it's like, I was like, man, I saw that and I had to comment because I felt his frustration to him. And I basically said what I said on the show. I'm like, you know, dude, I was like, I feel your pain. I mean, this is why I'm always trying to find a way to help my fellow fitness gym owners and everything else. Because I'm a marketing guy. But it's like, I actually wrote here, you know, I love CrossFit as a fellow coach too, Kurt. I do agree with your timing concerns in relation to financials. Their paid affiliation requirements provide zero support or proper entrepreneurial education for fit, passionate, budding small business owners, aka box owners. That's my own pet peeve and why I won't own a box, but would rather work with and help my fellow friends and box owners instead. The community has to help its own, I guess. Please stay fired up, my friend. So that was the whole back and forth. And he obviously liked this, said, thanks, my friend, and blah, blah, blah. But the point here is like, people shouldn't have to write posts like that.
Right. Absolutely.
And,
I agree.
And like, how many of your gym owners don't write a paycheck until they get onto this program?
A lot. Or they're writing a paycheck, but it's not covering, you know, any expenses at home. It's very minimal. Or they're slaving to the business. You know, I have one owner, he's like, I'm here 12, 15 hours a day.
Wow.
Not coaching necessarily, but doing the business work, doing the marketing, doing the, you know, programming and things like that. And he's not paying himself near enough for that kind of work. And the stress of, am I going to be able to make payroll then too? Not only for himself, but for his coaches that he does have. So yeah, it's a huge factor in just being a successful box owner, I feel like.
Well, and it's funny because I tell people all the time as well, is like, people don't get into the fitness world to make a ton of money. Mm-mm. And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, listen, I could speak to this. Years ago when I was in the corporate world, I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go teach spinning classes. That was my morning coffee. Because after an hour of kicking ass on a bike, everybody's sweated out. I'm sweated out. I go take a shower. I'm wide awake. I'm good to go to work. But you know, I was being paid $20 a class. So it's like, yep. you're exchanging your time for money, which is another whole other piece that I could mm-hmm. talk to from a business standpoint online, which is why I love online business, because it's about building a business or a business plan that makes you money when you're not working.
Right.
And in this case, like you just said, that gentleman or that woman, whoever you're speaking about, and in many cases, most of the people I know, they're stuck at the gym. To be fair, they started this to have the provide a local community, a place for people to go and enjoy and share in what they love as well. But in the end, now they're a slave to that engine. And for some people, I literally see gyms closing all the time too. I don't know if you've come across that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that as well?
I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to work with them because they're closed before I get to work with them. But yeah, I've heard of that for sure.
Yeah. And it's a shame because people should want to, I don't know, build that legacy. I like the word legacy because you're trying to change people's health, wellness, and fitness to a better level in their life. And in order to do that, it takes time. And like most entrepreneurs, and maybe you could speak to that too. What do you see financially? Like most people, I think over the average from any business, it's at least a 5 to 7 year, I guess, launch cycle to really build a sustainable business. Are you seeing that as well from the financials?
Yeah, I would say so. I did have one of the very first gyms that I had the opportunity to work with. He was only 6 months old when he found Profit First and came to us. And so he is nowhere near the profitability targets that we have for a gym his size, mostly because, you know, the first month you do have to pay rent. And that's really what he's focused on right now. And he's made it to the point where he has surpassed the worry of paying rent. And now he's really working at increasing his own income. But he's still building a clientele, basically, a membership base. And so his revenue just isn't high enough. And yeah, it's been 2 years now. And I would say he's probably 40 to 50% there. So yeah, if you extrapolate that out, 5 to 7 years is probably what it's going to take to get him really where he wants to be financially.
Okay. So you referred back earlier about how Profit First kind of teaches, like, or at least Mike, he kind of hints at, hey, when you get things going, take your time, really maybe focus on those first 3 to 5 accounts. And then to your point, you said you found an additional 3. So I wanted to hear more about that because I'm very intrigued. So people listening to this or who are going to share this episode, and again, guys, netbooksaccounting.com, okay? This is where you're going to learn about her and reach out to her. But so, Shannon, how would you, again, trickle this into people's lives? Are you going to target it initially from so they can wrap their heads around 3 accounts and then into their five that Mike is, and then eventually that 3? I know everybody's different, but like, what is that 3, 5, 8 transition? Like, what are those accounts we're talking about here?
Yeah, it really depends on the person. I recommend starting with the 5 pretty much right away.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they're pretty simple. The 3 of them are all benefit the owner. So your owner's pay is pretty obvious. That's going to benefit the owner. The tax account definitely does, because if we are going to start making a profit, that's the 3rd account. And when we do not want to be hit with a tax bill in March or April that we're not ready for. So those three, I don't feel like you can have one without the other. And we still haven't paid any rent. So we need that operating expense account to pay your rent and any payroll you might have. And the fifth account is basically just the holding account for your income. So there's not a lot of transactions out of that. Like I said, it's just a holding account. Everything drips into it, and then we allocate to the other four. So pretty
that's
much
kinda
starting
like the,
with those five.
What would you say? So basically, any income coming into the business all goes to that first account, and then everything is kind of divided out based on percentages. So,
yes. And
this is for our listeners because maybe you haven't read the book yet or listened to the book yet. By the way, I highly recommend listening to it on Audible. I crushed it on Audible like multiple times versus physically reading it. I don't know. Apparently my brain works differently now that I'm older. So,
I agree. Mike does a great job narrating his own book.
Yeah. I love it when people do their own Audible book, and not to get distracted, but I love it when they do their own Audible book because I feel like it gets you closer to the content when you know that's the author who's talking about it.
Absolutely.
So we got the primary account. Boom. Yep. It's feeding out to those other four. And then that first five, I mean, how long does it take people to get used to that? I mean, obviously everybody's different, but is there a rough average timeline?
Honestly, most people that I've implemented it with, 30, 60 days. And they're okay with it. Most people come with, they have a goal of something and they're willing to do pretty much anything to start paying themselves or to start, not having to worry about rent payments and payroll. And when it's really, we walk them through those first two allocations at least hand in hand. And so they get pretty comfortable with it pretty quick, honestly.
Okay. And then through your experience, because obviously you're the profit first professional that's niched into the gyms and fitness centers. So clearly through your work, you've discovered three other accounts. Apparently our fitness world is a little different. So what are these others? I mean, obviously is one of them relating to the equipment that we were talking about? Okay.
Yep. So we have an equipment or capital expense account. Kind of both all in the same one. And we just set up a minimum that we're going to transfer into that account every month. And whether it's for buying new equipment, replacing equipment that breaks or that you're forced to buy all of a sudden, or people are talking about building out and renovating and expanding and things like that. And so we can do it one of two ways. Like I said, a lot of times we just say minimum $100 into that account every month. But if you know that in, a year you want to spend $50,000 on a renovation, well, let's start saving for that now. So how much can we put towards that right now? So again, you have a good down payment when that time comes.
So that's where you modify the percentages, right?
Yeah, that would all actually come out of your operating account. So we just continue to transfer the same percentage into your operating account and take that dollar amount or a percentage out of the operating account.
Now, for people listening, the biggest thing
detailed
that they have to be reminded about here is they're still paying themselves profits.
Yes.
And I think right now they're going to be like, wait a minute. If now all of a sudden I'm saving for a $50,000 renovation, there's no way I could pay myself profits.
Yep. We have to get you profitable first. And we have to maintain, a 5% profitability or whatever goal you're targeting, we have to maintain that. Now, there may be times if you've targeted a higher profitability than what we see for a gym of your size, we may say, okay, let's cut that profitability a little bit so that we can move it into things like a renovation. But that's only if you are already operating above what we see other gyms doing.
So, and again, this is the biggest thing that I think people have to wrap their heads around for profit first here is that the point of profit first, to me, is we're getting people to finally enjoy running their business. Even if they're only paying themselves, let's say, 2% profit,
Yep. You're
paying that right away.
Yep.
And I clarify, are you still following the standard principle that Mike recommends where you are paying yourself right away into an account, but you're not actually giving yourself that money or dispersing or whatever that term is that he uses, the money until like a quarterly release?
Yeah, so you're doing two things. So there's two accounts, the owner's pay account and the profit account. The profit account is what you're speaking about. We put money into that every time we do the allocation. And that's going to be, you know, that 2 to 5%. It's going to be a smaller amount. And yes, you don't distribute that until every quarter. We do what's called a quarterly profit distribution. So I like to think of it as a bonus that you're getting if you were working in, you know, an 8 to 5 job for somebody else and they give you a quarterly bonus. Or like you hear the big boys on Wall Street getting their quarterly reports and giving a dividend. That's the profit account. And so, yes, that's kind of the extra celebration money. I'm really strict with my clients. You don't use that to pay bills. You use that to celebrate the fact that you are running a profitable fitness gym.
Yeah, center. I know that's something Mike really stresses, and he stressed on our episode on the one that went live today was he said, listen, you can't put it back into the business or you've just ruined everything we're doing. And I think people won't understand that. And it's like, no, that is finally your opportunity to enjoy your hard work, even if it's only 1 or 2%. Like, that is your money. Maybe it's only enough money in the beginning to go pay for dinner, but you know what? Yep. Go take your significant other out to dinner. Or if you're single, then go, I don't know, not to promote drinking, but go to the bar and buy a couple rounds with your buddies. Like, enjoy the money. Like, that's the point, is like, even if you're a new business, you know, enjoy the money.
Yes. Yeah. My first profit distribution was $20. I started in September. September 30th is a quarterly, that's the end of a quarter. And at that point I had $40. So we only take half of it out of the profit account so that we do leave a little bit in there for a rainy day type fund. So my first one was $20 and I took my kids and we went and got ice cream because my kids sacrifice a lot. Your family sacrifice a lot for you to own a business. You are gone a lot more than 8 to 5. And so I was like, well, let's go celebrate the quarterly profit distribution, all of us together as a family. And they've just grown since then, my quarterly profit distributions. And that's the goal. Every one of them should grow from the very beginning.
I would think so, right? I mean, do you see that? That's a great question for you. A little transparency here without sharing the details of your clients, but do you find that everybody consistently grows and doesn't really go backwards, or I don't know?
I haven't had anybody go backwards as far as their profit, the amount of their profit distribution. It's pretty much set up that way because we're only taking 50% out every time. So the next time you're going to take a profit distribution on not only what you add to that, but on the 50% that you left.
That compounding effect.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that. Yep. And then the other piece, I think the piece that people listening need to understand here, and again, listeners, this isn't just for entrepreneurs and gym owners. Like, this is for your personal life too, which is another reason why I'm so passionate about this, because my personal and my business kind of overlaps, and that's why I just need to implement this and get done with it. But the thing here is that people don't understand that the point of this equation is not just to get yourself start paying profits in my mind, but also it's to start helping, especially business owners or even personal people like your story earlier, is wrap your heads around the fact that your expenses are too high.
Yes.
I think that's really the secret weapon. Even though the book is called Profit First, I think a lot of it is going back to like, all right, really? Do you know what you spend?
Yep.
Is that something that you find very, very big eye-opener for your gym owners?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Parkinson's Theory, and the more money we have, the more we spend. That's really what it comes down to. It's the same thing with time. The more time you have to devote to a project, the more you're going to spend on it. You can get something done in 10 minutes, but you can make it take 10 hours too. Same thing with money. And so, yeah, a lot of times people will come to me, and I get access to their books, their files pretty quickly, and I start looking and I'm like, okay, so what about these expenses? Yep, I've already cut everything that I possibly can. Everything there is completely necessary. And when I start looking at it, I just start asking questions. And it's eye-opening to people. They're like, yeah, you're right. I probably don't need to spend, you know, I don't need to be paying 3 music subscriptions for the gym. And it's simple things like that. One of the ways that we sometimes do it is, excuse me, most people are using credit cards or debit cards to pay for that. And when we open up new accounts, you get new debit cards or new credit cards to go with them. And so all of your subscriptions have to be changed. And when that happens, it forces people to really evaluate every single expense. Do I want to move that expense to the new account.
Well, it's funny because I have a client of mine. She's actually my biggest client. I do business development, travel for them, marketing, sales. And she's a good friend of mine. And it was funny because we were in a meeting the other day. We were driving in the car and she said, you know, her husband and her, she's like, you know what, we set a goal this year to sit down and go through our Amex card. And I'm like, what does that mean? And she's like, well, she's like, I have a feeling there's a lot of stuff on there that I'm just auto billing and I have no idea that I'm paying for. And I just started laughing and I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's one of your New Year's goals? Like, you don't know what's happening on your credit card? Like, that freaked me out right there. I was like, all right, I know, at least I may not be perfect with my finances, but I was like, I know everything that's happening on all of my accounts. I know what is auto bill, what is not. I've got a reminder list with dates in my Evernote app. So I know when everything is happening throughout the month. I know I can just go and look at the dates. Like, I'm at least tracking everything. But when they told me that, I was like, what? Like, okay, this must be something you're talking about too, Shannon. It's like, people don't know what they're auto billing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I see it all the time. I would say you're ahead of the game, quite honestly, if you have that much down, because I'm with you. I know every single transaction every single day, but I'm a finance person. And so, of course, I do. Most business owners do not.
Well, and I will say, like, I'm not going to like beat myself up too heavily, but I've built over the past couple of years that level of tracking. And because I want to know where all my money is. And I've actually had somebody else on my show too. And I keep telling her to go get certified with you guys because she pretty much does what you do. But she's been on my show twice. Her name is Whitney Hansen. So shout out to Whitney Hansen. But she's nicknamed the Money Nerd. And she has a Money Nerd podcast, she calls it. And she's out of, I think it's Idaho. But anyway, she's literally doing what you guys do. And she's actually from the fitness world. I don't think she's niched herself that way, but she's really targeting millennials and college debt and stuff like that. But because she's also a millennial, so that's a perfect niche for her. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And she even told me, she's like, you actually know all your interest rates and money. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got a whole whiteboard here in my office. Okay. Everything is written down on it. And she's like, okay, Scott, you're not as bad as you think.
Right.
And you know what you're spending every week. The biggest thing for me is that I'm not saying I'm paycheck to paycheck, but I'm kind of like contract to contract. That's what I want to get past. That's the only reason why I need to implement this system is that, and this is actually, I think, important for my honesty and also for other listeners out there is that there are people like me that do have a decent handle on stuff now. It's just we're still missing the enjoyment piece. I'm still kind of like living with the income and not living ahead of the income. And that's kind of how I'm wording it anyway. But I want to start having that regular profit distribution. I just want to automate everything. That's where I'm at because everything is almost every single thing is auto billed, which is nice. And that's why I have all the dates tracked. But now it's like, okay, why am I not auto-paying myself?
Yeah, I'm a huge systems person. That was one of my biggest appeals to Profit First is it is a true system. And so it really can automate all of those financial planning and transaction numbers. And I was going to say, too, one of my very first clients was actually running a very successful gym. He had a significant amount of money saved into what was basically his profit account, but he was not willing to take a profit distribution because he didn't know how much. And wow. So sometimes it's, you know, he, like you said, what was it? You're living with the income instead of living ahead of the income.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like he was doing the same thing. He was living with the income. He was taking a decent salary from the business, but he wasn't doing any celebrations of the business. And so he implemented Profit First and he took his first profit distribution and was able to renovate his house or a portion of his house that he'd been waiting years to do. And he had the money. He just wasn't comfortable doing it. So Profit First works for everybody at all different levels. Obviously that's the exception more than the normal, but it helped him significantly. He is much more excited about his business now than he was a year ago.
Well, and at least he was paying himself because in most of our earlier discussions we were talking about here and other people that I know, including, you know, one of my clients, they don't pay themselves an owner's salary, so to speak, or however, you know, that account that you were talking about. Right. So it's funny because we're trying to get people to wrap their heads around just taking some profit and living life a little bit. But there's still a lot of people who aren't even paying themselves an owner's salary. They're saying, well, you know, after I pay all the expenses and I pay my employees, you know, I don't pay myself a salary. And it's like, you own the damn business. What the hell? Right. Why the hell did you even launch a business? Like, like, especially if it's been like 5 years.
Yeah. One of the very first questions Mike asked me when I was becoming a profit first professional really was, who's your best employee? Because I own an employee at that point. And he said, who's your best employee? And I obviously named her. And he asked me again, who's your best employee? And I was like, damn it, I own this business. Best employee. You have to compensate yourself as if you're your best employee.
Because you could lose that employee tomorrow and everything could fall back to you.
Exactly.
And I think that's the biggest wake-up call for a lot of us is that, you know, you created the business. You created the gym. You created your personal trainer studio. Or heck, you're the person collecting the salary. And it's like, you can't afford to go on vacation. I'm like, right. This is what we
you
need
left the stability of an 8-to-5 job to start this community to help people, and that's a very noble thing to do. But you deserve to be compensated for that.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing that people need to start wrapping their heads around is like, guys, like you're supposed to be enjoying the journey, and this is what I've really taken out of just reading Profit First and looking at implementing in my business as well. And I want to see other gyms and fitness businesses do this. Is that guys, like this is what we're talking about is this is that lifestyle piece. Great. Yeah. You have health, you have a business, but your lifestyle sucks. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're not taking profit. You're maybe not even taking an owner's pay. You justify your vacations when there's a fitness competition. Like, oh, I'm going to go to that fitness competition. That's not a vacation. Like that's a fitness competition. Great. It's in Florida and your business is maybe up here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where I'm at, or it's in Indiana where Shannon's at. It's like, guys, like going to a fitness competition, it's not technically it's not a vacation. Like set aside the money and like go to Belize or something, or go on a ski trip. Like this is what the lifestyle is about, is that you're supposed to be living life to the fullest and enjoying it and having some of that financial freedom to do so.
Yep, absolutely.
So Shannon, this has been awesome. I'm so glad I got you on because again, I have a personal connection here and I've been trying to get people to wrap their heads around this. So now we've got a sweet digital audio episode. Then now, like every time someone's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Even if they don't go get the book, now they got to go listen to this episode.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I very much appreciate you having me on the show. It's been a great time.
Well, I want to give you the respect and the honor here because you've really chose a niche that a lot of people from a marketing standpoint, they'll actually say, oh, I don't like working with gyms and fitness businesses because they can't afford proper marketing. And I'll be one of those people. Like they don't have it in their budget, right? Mm-hmm. Because people look at these businesses as a limp along business in many cases, especially the smaller entrepreneurial ones. And we need to change that. I think that's part of this here.
Yep, absolutely. That's pretty much my whole goal is to change that and you know, to make them not limp along businesses that are true businesses and leave a legacy for those business owners.
Well, and we're kind of transitioning into the perfect spot here. We end the every single show with our co-host having the final word, and you're kind of already hitting on that. So, is that basically the master plan for you? Like, what is that all encompassing message that, or your final words to our listeners here that they can remember about you? Is like, what is that mission? Is that your mission statement? Is that your purpose? I don't know. Like, what is that final word that you want to impose out there to not just our business owners, but our listeners that are just trying to figure this all out?
Yeah, it is pretty much that I just feel like the mission of Profit First is to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. And I really live that and breathe that. And specifically to gym owners and people who really are out there serving other people. I, as a mom, also hear a lot, you can only serve and love as much as you serve and love yourself. And financial service and love have to be a part of that. And so, as you were talking about living a lifestyle and things like that, you have to be taking care of yourself so that you can take care of other people. And like I said, the financial piece is part of that. And Profit First can definitely help you do that, really from your very first allocation, which can happen in the next month.
I love that. Well, please stay on the line because I want to say goodbye to you when we get off here. But again, to our listeners, guys, that is Shannon Simmons of Netbooks Accounting Services, a true profit first professional. So if you clicked with her at all in this episode, please go visit her at netbooksaccounting.com. Again, she's on Facebook under the same brand, Netbooks Accounting. You can go on LinkedIn and find Shannon Simmons as well. But again, guys, this is what it's all about, okay? Start wrapping your head around finances. Start owning your money and controlling your future. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. And this is one of the most important pieces. I'm sorry, money, it needs money to play. Yep. So thank you again, Shannon, for joining the show. Again, to our listeners, keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.